Happy Wednesday, everyone. This is Pam Stack, your host, and you're listening to Authors on the Air. I'm very excited about this program tonight. It's something we've never done before, and I don't know if it's actually been done anywhere. But DJ Alchemist Venet is a DJ, obviously, and she spins some pretty incredible tunes. She got together with E.A. Imar, or Ed Imar, from who also is the managing editor of The Big Thrill from International Thriller Writers, and they decided to collaborate on a very interesting project, mixing music and short story crime fiction. I can't wait for you to hear it, so we're going to come back and talk to them in just a minute. Hang on, because here we go. So happy Wednesday, everyone. This is Authors on the Air. We're proud to be part of the Authors on the Air Global Radio Network. Since we're talking about music and on the radio, I want to give a shout out to Robert Gregory Brown, who is one fine author, has written many a wonderful book, but he's also a very talented musician. He created and plays my theme music. Thank you, Rob. I appreciate it. To find out more about him, go to Robert Brown, BROWNE.com, Robert Gregory Brown. Ed, I have a question. Am I pronouncing your last name correctly? Is it Imar or Imar?
You know, I think it's Imar. We've always said Imar, but everybody automatically says Imar. And it turns out I'm the only last male, sort of. So
okay.
I'll make that decision.
Okay. So I apologize for that. It is spelled A-Y-M-A-R. So, I made an assumption and I shouldn't have. I am very, very, very happy to welcome Ed Imar to the show. Ed has been a guest host in Noir on the Radio. He's also done some throwdowns on. You did a Flash Fiction Throwdown, didn't you? And I know you've been on Jenny Milchman's show. You've kind of been around the network a little bit, so you're an old hand at doing this kind of stuff. Welcome to the show. And also with you is a lady I was talking to before this show. She is a DJ. She mixes all kinds of music. I'm assuming a lot of it is dance music, electronica, but we'll find out because I could make an assumption about that too. I want to introduce DJ Alchemist Venet Kim. Hi, Kim. How are you? Welcome to Authors on the Air.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm super stoked to be here.
I'm so glad you're here. Tell me, what kind of music do you mix, by the way? Because you do parties and dance clubs and a lot of different things, don't you?
Yeah, I do a little bit of everything. You know, it kind of depends on the crowd. That's kind of what I do, is just read the crowd. But when it comes to, like, making my own music, I pretty much just make weird shit. So, yeah.
I love it. Okay. So we were talking before on chat, and I mentioned this, listeners, to Ed and to Kim, that my niece is graduating from Stanford University this year, and she's doing her thesis, believe it or not, they make them do a thesis in their senior year, on electronica. She loves electronic music. She's a fanatic on it. So she says it makes a social statement. I don't know if that's true or not, but maybe we can talk about that later. So who came to who first? Who started this discussion about this project that you two were doing?
I think Ed started it.
Yeah,
I'm sorry?
Yeah, we were doing a Noir at the Bar in D.C., and Eric Pruitt, you know, who hosts them out in Raleigh, I was talking with him, and he said that they've done DJ play intro music for the writers, kind of like how professional wrestlers or boxers enter the ring. So I thought that'd be really cool for one of our events. It'd be like that, but, you know, for nerds. And I looked up, DC is not hurting for good DJs, you know, so I looked up a bunch to see it would be a good fit, and came across Kim's page, and I liked the mixes. I didn't know at the time that she actually was producing her own music, but we talked, and I hired her for the event, and then we just started trading emails back and forth, and I found out that she makes her own music, and she sent me a couple of tracks, and I was just right away. I was impressed. I mean, and there, I felt like there was I was really pulled by them, and I felt like there was a story that was kind of waiting to be told along with them.
How cool, Kim! Tell me what it was like from your perspective to go and, you know, do this intro music for these authors who were talking about crime fiction. Has this been in your circle at all? Is this in your wheelhouse to be around authors talking about, you know, murders and everything else?
Well, I've done a lot of interesting, like, eccentric, eclectic type of gigs. So I wouldn't say that it was like completely out of left field. I'm also a fan of, like, crime fiction myself. So when Ed, like, pitched me that idea, I was like, yeah, count me in. Like, totally. I've done, like, walk-up music for boxers too. So that's kind of funny. But yeah, no, it was just really cool. I'm a nerd too, like a total nerd. So it was a good fit. It was a good time. I got to play like all this weird music that I really like, that I don't really always get to play, but just like really fits the noir theme. I had a really good time.
I love it.
Yeah.
So let's do this. How about we play some music? You've sent me an audio clip, and how about we go ahead and debut? What is the name of this audio clip? And tell me how you decided to kind of score this.
Well, this one is called Requiem, and okay. I actually wrote the music first. The first draft of it is a little different than what you're going to hear today, but not hugely different. But
okay.
I had written it, and I had shared it with Ed, and Ed's kind of on, like, my secret A team of, like, people who I, like, send my tracks out to before I release them publicly to kind of get, you know, some feedback. It's like beta testing, I guess. And correct me if I'm wrong, Ed, but then he was just like, I like it, I'm going to write a story to it. And
yeah.
Right away.
You know, to be honest, I thought I think most things revolve around me, so I assumed that track was written with me in mind. And I was like, right away, this is perfect. But I actually also didn't know you sent it out to other people, too. Now I'm a little hurt, but that's fine.
God.
Well, but my A-team
is why I called you. You see why I called you first, Kim? I mean, really, I can only take so much. So let me get this straight. You're not only a DJ, but you write your own music, and you play your own music, too, don't you?
Yeah, I'm originally a classically trained viola player, and I also play violin, and I have an electric viola, and self-taught guitar, a little tiny bit of piano, like random stuff.
So are you doing looping for the music so that you can get it all, the sound that you want? Is that what you're doing, looping on it?
Yeah, I guess a lot of it is loop-based. A lot of it I'm just kind of like, you know, knocking stuff out on the keyboard and just, I don't even know
cool.
It comes from half the time. I'm just like, oh, I'm going to do this, and then I do it, and I'm like, oh, I guess that works.
Okay, so let's go ahead and listen to Requiem. And this is not Kim's sound system. This is from the studio. So I apologize if it doesn't sound great, but we're going to give it a try.
I don't belong here. I don't want to die soon. I'm just a weed dealer, and these are dangerous men we're lying to. I'm here tonight because Will said he needed numbers, and I've got to stand by my brother. I didn't get scared until I heard their footsteps in the alley, till they got close. So one of those guys lowered his voice and whispered, I hope they can't tell the shit we're selling's fake. I've only ever sold to white kids in the suburbs, but Will deals in the city. He's the kind of guy who acts brash and talks fast, hangs on corners I wouldn't try to walk past. Will's always been hard as stone, like when he put our dad in the hospital because he broke my arm. And then he took care of me, let me live with him so I never had to go back home. Will wouldn't be here if this wasn't going to work. That's what I tell myself. I play with Will's boys as he walks across the alley toward those men. He gives them his backpack. They open it, look inside, and look up quick. So quick, the guy sitting next to me takes a step back. They say something to Will I can't hear. Set the bag down slow. And I hear Will ask, What do you mean it's not good? How do you know?
I'm gonna save it for you.
I don't remember turning to run, but I heard that gun and saw Will's head snap back. One of his boys is running next to me and he cries out in gasps. He grabs my arm, but I shake him off, leave him on the ground, turn a corner, and realize I'm lost. And I don't know where to go as I look right and left, and there's nowhere to hide, and I can't catch my breath. All I know is that I can't stay still, but I can't do anything but think about Will. I hurry in the dark, trip on a curb, spin around just as those men emerge. There's nowhere to hide, I drop to my knees, and I cry for Will as one of them lifts his piece.
Gosh. Yeah, and I'm dancing around the studio here, I want you to know. Fantastic.
Awesome.
All the sound effects are yours, right, Kim?
Yeah, so most of it is from synthesizers that I tweaked myself. And they're obviously the gunshots, and the audio samples are just like samples that I pulled off the internet. But I thought I was having as I was listening to this was I originally wrote this track as kind of a goodbye song. I was saying goodbye to something. And I was sitting on a train because a lot of my songs get written on trains. And I wrote it as a goodbye song. And I didn't really, like, tell anybody that that's what was going on in my mind. And when Ed listened to it, he wrote story that is, in a way, kind of a goodbye story. We kind of, like, communicated that without actually, like, saying that out loud. I think that's kind of cool. We kind of, like, I think we, like, you know, speak through the airwaves or something.
It was a serendipitous thing that it was telling you the universe is pulling for you guys together. Let's take a call from area code 703. Oh, hello. You're live on the air with Ed and Kim. Who's this?
Hi.
Hello. Hi, you're live.
Hi, this is Jenny. I'm really glad to hear you guys. Yeah, thank you so much. I'm really glad to hear you guys' new music. And I want to ask you a question, which is, how is it different writing to music than it is to just writing?
In some ways, this is weird, but it's a bit easier in some ways. And part of that is I'm very much a surface writer, I think. My stories are usually fairly straightforward, and I do like to keep stuff under the surface, but I also don't use a lot of mixed or difficult imagery that takes people a while to get into. I like people to sink into the story right away. And what I found with Kim's music is that she sort of provides that subconscious. The music does, you know, it echoes the story and it gives it a depth that in some ways I don't really have to worry as much about putting in there. I don't really think about it as much, if that makes sense. And I think it happens sort of organically. I don't want to make that sound pretentious. I just think that the two that our styles play with each other well in that way.
Totally. I tend to not be able to communicate well verbally. That's just not my strength, I think. And what I lack in that, I think I can just do it through music. And so Ed being able to provide like the actual like tangible storyline and what's really going on like verbally that's really cool, too. See, I'm struggling right now. I just can't talk.
Well, Jenny brings up a really good point. It's very interesting to me. Which comes first, the chicken or the egg? Does the story come first or does the music? Kim?
I think most of the time the music has come first. However, we're working on a new project, a new thing where the story has come first and the music is coming second, or at least the story idea has come first.
Interesting. Interesting.
Super. Well,
Ed,
I look forward to it so much. Thanks, guys.
Thank
you,
Jenny,
you
for calling in.
Still there.
Okay.
Yep.
All right, guys.
Yep.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
All right. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Ed, you actually make it sound like a rap almost, and but it's good. I'm not saying that in any bad way because I like rap music, but it was almost poetic. It was very lyrical to listen to you read that short story. Do you realize that when you were giving voice to the music?
Yeah. You know, I mean, I'd probably answer Denise's question differently right away because in some ways it's a lot harder than traditional writing, and you have to incorporate a bit of rhythm, and there's a certain I've become much more aware and attuned to how words sound through this project, and especially because they're all going to be spoken. So there's a lot of words have an inherent rhyme that I hadn't really played with too much before in more traditional writing. So we easily, you know, we definitely borrow elements from rap and poetry and traditional songs, but I always, from my perspective, make pains to title it, you know, short stories plus music, because it would be, I mean, my voice isn't given to singing, and I'm, you know, way too old and suburban at this point to be a rapper. So it's gotta be, you know,
I don't know if Vanilla Ice had
to
one
be a short story.
I'm with Kim on that. I don't agree with that necessarily. I have to tell you, I think that it probably is the music that puts you in that frame of mind to you just seem to seamlessly do it. And, you know, all kudos to Kim for the sound, because it was perfect. It was just perfect. And it's something I have not heard before. And I will tell you something else. I love the fact that you are recognizing how words sound now because you are speaking them to music. I think a lot of authors forget that, you know, the word, the dialogue and speaking words out loud really changed the tenor of your story. They do, because you're adding another couple senses in there. So I love to read books out loud. If the prose is good, I'm reading out loud. So are you guys ready to take another call?
Heck
sure.
Yes.
Okay. Hi, area code 720. You're live with Kim and Ed. Who's this? Hello? You're live on the air. Hello,
hi,
area code 720. Hi, Allison. You're live.
Hi,
go ahead.
How are you?
Good.
I was listening in, and first, I think if Ed wants to be a rapper, I think he should pursue that dream.
Thank you.
I'm totally on board with that. You're very welcome. I wanted to know, you talked a little bit about how you speak the words to the music, but do you think that having the music first changes the way that you write the flow of the actual stories?
Yeah, definitely. I wouldn't try and write something that was later set to music. I think for some reason this is just the way, the process that we started with, and it seems to work to that. you know, and the good thing about working with Kim is that she's so weird, you know, her, I mean that in a really good way.
Well,
I mean, there are so many odd
things. Kettle, you know?
Well, I mean, there's so many weird things that she incorporates in her music that work, you know, either bird singing or different bells or just regular sounds that she'll throw into a mix, and it ends up a rain, you know, and it ends up working. And sometimes when they're recording, you know, there's outside sounds that sneak in and end up making it work too. So she's very, very in tune to that. And for me, writing it, I take all that into consideration and play with it, you know, and I try and write sort of the story. I want the story to follow those sounds. So, for example, in Requiem, we had the gunshots already in the track, and, you know, that was a really cool way to figure out how the story should ebb and flow, when it should pick up, when it should stop. And then right after those gunshots, the beat takes off and it goes a lot faster. And it, you know, and I end up speaking faster. But with that part, I was really conscious of how I said it. I rewrote it a bunch of times because I didn't want it to sound like rap. I didn't, and I love rap. I'm a hip hop head, but I wanted it to, I didn't want to take away that story thing. So that was probably the closest that, in the tracks we've done, the closest we've come to that. But yeah, it definitely helps having her music ahead of time.
Perfect. Well, let me know when you go on.
There you go. Thank you for calling, Allison. Please listen in, though.
Thank you.
Okay, so we have another call from area code 623. Let's see who's calling. Hi, you're live on the air, area code 623.
Hi, yes. I was just wondering that now that you have some collaborations under your belt, are you going to have, like, a band name or name of the group?
Kim, you want to take that one?
Honestly, I kind of like just calling ourselves, you know, like, because it is like, you know, Ed is a writer under his real writer name, and I'm, you know, just this producer, music producer under my producer name, and we're just kind of collaborating. It really is a collaboration. I think keeping our names helps continue to emphasize the fact that it is a collaboration. But who knows? Maybe it's just because I can't think of a cool band name, and I'm just making an excuse.
That's so funny. Ed, what's your thought?
Yeah, I'm kind of with her. We were talking about something like this earlier, and I mean, if there was a cool name I could think of, then maybe I'd suggest it, and if Kim was down, we'd go for it. But otherwise, this is fine. This kind of works. I mean, it's a lot of initials to throw at people, but...
Yeah, I know. I think I called it Alphabet Soup, didn't I? In one of our posts, I called it Alphabet Soup because they were saying EA and DJ, and I said, oh, whatever, Alphabet Soup. So, you know, you're not giving up your identities and going on the road just yet, I don't think. You know, you have plenty of time to work out a name, right? So thank you so much for your question. I appreciate it. Okay. There are some questions from the internet that on the event
the
page.
Internet.
So, from the web on Facebook. So, Susan says, "I have so many questions, so take your pick. How did the two of you meet? We already figured that out. What sparked such a cool idea? We got that one too. And then, does the music or the writing happen fast, or do they happen at the same time collaboratively?"
Mm-hmm.
That's an interesting question.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's an interesting question. I feel like my creativity, and I don't know if this is frustrating for Ed or not, it's frustrating for me, is it kind of like it's either all at once or like nothing at all. I'm like, when it's coming, I'm just like, all right, let's just roll with it, and I'll just write as many songs as I can do before I get exhausted. And then sometimes there's just like nothing coming, and I'm like trying to write stuff, and I'm just like forcing them, like, oh, this sounds like a crappy, forced piece of music. I can't do anything with it. But then I know I just kind of have to like write it out, and I'll eventually become inspired again. And it's like a faucet, like turning full blast or just like nothing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. That's cool. That's a great answer. I love that. And Ed, you commented on your own post about one good question to ask: what exactly are we looking at in this picture? Okay. So we have a picture, an alternate picture of Requiem. It's in black and white. You can go to Facebook and find it on Ed's page. And he and Kim are like both turned around and they're looking at a tree or something. I don't know. I don't know. It's not legal in D.C. yet. Who knows?
I thought we were looking at a monster.
I'm not sure, but John replies, "Dude with an axe," and you said, "Well, I would no longer be in the picture because running." And then somebody says, "Then Megan wants to know if those are dad jeans. Maybe it's the fashion police." So, you know.
It's part of his rap persona.
those are your friends, not mine. I can't help it.
Yeah, I know.
they're asking you those questions. I'm not asking. There you go. Right. So here's what I would like to know. How many words, Ed, is the typical short story going to be? Or do you not try to do it like that? Are you, because this could almost be flash fiction. This could be a 1,000-word piece of flash, and you know, which is a complete story, which you obviously just told to DJ Alchemist's beautiful music. I mean, it was just perfect with the sound effects and all. So what do you think?
It's funny you said that, because we were, when this project first debuted, we put it out through Smoke One Quarterly, which is they sort of debuted the very first track we did, and they're a really terrific flash fiction magazine run by a terrific flash writer, Tara Laskowski. So they had us on there, and the words are probably, it's almost always less than 1,000. It's probably close to 700, I'd say.
700,
and and we, but it really depends on the piece. I don't think, like, the project that Kim alluded to earlier is a longer piece. It's going to be, if depending how it shapes out, it'll be broken up into different, you know, four or five different songs, and you know, each song will be probably about, you know, the same length as all of them, like 700 to 1,000 words. I don't think it necessarily makes, I don't think it makes sense to tell a longer story over one long piece of music. But I'm not sure, you know, I mean, anything's really open now. We're still learning.
Kim, you really made the story by breaking up the different tempo and so on. You set the mood, actually, of the story, first of all, with the music. And so it would seem like the perfect length. You could get into the music while you were hearing the story, and that's really cool. So, Kim, if another author who writes crime fiction comes to you and says, gosh, I want to jump in and I want to do a story with you, are you guys open to that? Are you going to try not to do that, or just make this your own
thing? No,
fuck
that guy. No, no.
Okay, well, there you go. You know.
No, I'm just kidding.
Okay, that's fine, you know. Okay, so let me ask the woman who, you know, the brains of the operation first. So what do you think? How do you and Ed obviously have, you know, kind of this symbiotic relationship here that's working well, but are you open to having other writers come in? And I want to know, if you are, how do you think it will work between the collaboration between you and a female crime fiction writer?
That's a good question. I mean, I would say I'm a pretty open-minded person. I'm open to anything, which is kind of, you know, how this whole thing got started. I don't know. It would be interesting to work with a female.
Well, like, Tara is a great crime fiction writer, you know, Tara Laskowski. She's fantastic. So, you know, if she wanted to do a short piece and have you score it, would that be something you'd be interested in doing?
Yeah, I guess so, yeah. I mean, I think a lot of it has a to do with personalities, too, you know. And Ed and I work really well together, partially, I think, because he's just like, hey, do your thing, and I'm like, hey, do your thing, and then it kind of works out. And I think, you know, regardless of gender, I'm not really good with being micromanaged, so...
Well, there you go. And that's good.
This is why I don't have a real job.
Well, Ed, let me ask you this. I know, you know, this is still new and it's still evolving for you. So I'd like to know, when you think ahead with the project that you're doing with DJ Alchemist, do you envision maybe having more than your voice in one of these short story montages that she's putting together? Could you envision a cast of different storytellers, but still 700 to 1,000 words, you know, thereabouts? or do you think they're not long enough to have more than one voice?
No, we could definitely do that. You know, I wouldn't be. I think creatively, it's really interesting to explore that. You know, to look into how that would work. I mean, I'm not. It's weird. I think a lot of writers feel this way, but I'm not necessarily open to collaborating with other writers to a large extent. You know, it'd be hard for me to imagine co-authoring something with someone where a lot of writers do it and produce good books, but it would have to be a form that really worked, you know, and the music and the story called to it. I don't think it's, you know, definitely I don't work well if I'm forced to do something. You know, and it has to be something that I have a lot of enthusiasm for. So I think it'd be really
cool. I'm thinking, you know,
like a posse cut.
This would be a great kind of like an anthology type of a thing where you have your group together and, I don't know, put out music, you know, and sell it or something. You guys are very talented, I have to say. It's very fascinating to me.
So there's something we're exploring right now, and it wouldn't be for a year or so, but I'm hoping to do it with George Mason University, runs
mm-hmm.
this festival, Fall for the Book. And I'm talking with the people organizing it, hoping that this can be part of it. But I like the idea of a writers plus music event, different writers
mm-hmm.
team with different musicians. And they have like 15-minute sets, essentially, where these are people they've practiced together and worked together on this, on what they're presenting, but they would, you know, read a story with a guitar backing or a story that is broken up
sure.
with song. And so we're presenting it to them. I'm hoping it, and then Kim and I would, you know, we'd perform at it as well and host it.
I love this idea.
So cool.
My mind is expanding to, you know, to poetry and having, you know, oriental music or something with it. It just, there's so many possibilities. And it just really opens up all the senses to take in music and literature writing together. It's a wonderful, wonderful idea. Wonderful.
I agree. And I kind of like how it really has this. I feel like this project has really just opened up a lot of other like creative ideas for me, at least. Like, oh, okay, like I don't have to write within any like limits anymore. Like, there's a lot of pressure on electronic music producers to be like, okay, write like this cohesive song that you can dance to, this first chorus, first chorus, first chorus, the end. Like, that's a lot of pressure. And I write like weird stuff that I just can't like put in that, but it's like, you know, I tend to err more towards, like, the cinematic and the ambient, and I think that, like, that works really well with the stories. And it's just, I feel like it's just between Ed and my imagination, we've just been like, oh, well, now we could do this, and now we could do this. And Ed's always coming up with, like, all these new ideas and things that we could do and get involved with, and I think it's awesome. It's just, like, really opened up a whole other part of my brain.
Because I'm picturing you doing, you know, stuff for children's books and, you know, yeah, it would be so much fun, you know, to do music and sounds for a kid's book or even science fiction or horror. You know, the beginning of this particular tune, the opening couple bars there sounds very funeral homey. It's very funereal sounding. So I'm thinking, oh, horror story for sure. And, you know, in this network, we actually have a horror series, a horror podcast, too. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, if their authors heard you, you know, and playing that, they would want to do that, too. I can't see anyone not wanting to set some type of spoken word to music. It just goes hand in hand. It's a brilliant idea. I want to just take a second to remind everyone, hold on one second, Ed, that this is a trademark copyrighted podcast solely owned by the authors on the Air Global Radio Network, LLC. If you want to call in and say hi to Ed or to Kim, please do. The number is 347-633-9609. I wish I had more music for you guys to listen to. I don't. But if you go, Kim, what is the website again, please, so that people know how to find you?
EAAlchemist.com, right?
Yeah, but your own website, I mean, Kim's got a whole bunch of stuff on more. There's more info on Kim on her site, djalchemist.com. But our our joint site has links to both of our personal sites.
Well, there you go. Let's
if you
want to
hear
lots
of music,
one line.
No words.
Yeah, and I know that you're on SoundCloud too, and which is great. You don't have a download link, which is why I couldn't put anything more up on here. But I understand that you don't want people taking your music. Kim, tell us a little. I'm going to wind back just a little bit. Tell us how you got started with music and how you ended up becoming DJ Alchemist.
Well, that is a very long story, but I will tell you the short version.
Okay.
I'm classically trained in viola, and I've been playing music pretty much my entire life. And it wasn't until recently. I'm originally from Washington State, and I moved to D.C. a couple years ago. And when I moved out here, pretty much like nothing was really working out for me. And I have like this vivid memory of me sitting in my apartment in D.C. being like, wow, it's really expensive to live here and I have no job. What am I going to do? And I was like, well, what about this DJing thing? Like, because I had kind of been learning to DJ from some old school guys in the scene and I really, really liked it. So then I was like, you know what? I'm just going to try and go for it. I'm going to try and make money off this. And that's what I want to do. And it actually worked out, which is really cool. And then after doing that for a couple of years, I kind of started to want to make my own music. I think it's kind of like a natural progression. You know, you play other people's music for like thousands of hours and you get a little burnt out on hearing like the same thing. And like, I love pop music, don't get me wrong, but all really formulaic and it's all kind of the same in a lot of ways. Yeah. And so I was like, well, I kind of want to make this and I kind of want to make that. And I had originally set out to make like, you know, house music. I was like, I'm going to make these really cool house beats and everyone's going to dance to them. It's going to be awesome. And then when I actually got to writing it, and like none of that came out. And I was like, you know what? I think I actually really like what the house DJs out there are already making. I have like nothing to add to that genre, but I have all this really weird shit in my brain that, you know, I like weird colors and sounds and feelings that I don't know how to express to people. So I'm just going to like put it in a song and then put that out there instead. And that's kind of how that all went. And I'm actually getting back into playing classically again with the viola. So it's kind of all coming full circle, but now it's like all of it together, which is kind of
it's
cool.
It's collaborative now. Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Did you stop playing or do you still play classical just so that your skills
don't
diminish?
Yeah,
good
I do still
you.
I
good
do still
you.
Play. I just I
had
love
you,
it.
Had you wanted to be part of an orchestra or a symphony?
Yeah, I actually played with a symphony for a long, long time. And then when I moved out here, I kind of lost all those connections. But I play with the Brooklyn Symphony now.
Oh, how wonderful. So you are so talented. Congratulations.
You're far too kind.
No. I started playing keyboards when I was 7, so I understand. I know what it's like to drift away from it and and then want to come back to it. You know, you're the only kid in the room who can sit down. There's a piano in a corner someplace, and a bunch of kids are hanging around, so you can sit down and play. You know, there's a lot of joys to having all that stuff in your background. But, I think it's great. Congratulations.
Thank you.
People know you because of The Big Thrill. You also have a monthly column in Washington Independent Review of Books. So you're pretty immersed in books anyway, but you also have your own thrillers out. I'll Sleep When You're Dead and You're As Good As Dead. Are we going to see another book from you in this series? Or are you going to do a standalone? Are you going to stay in the genre? Are you going to move? Tell me what's going on with you. Because you and I have been talking about this partnership and not the partnership you have with your writing self. So that's what I want to know about.
Yeah, no, my writing self definitely is neglected. He's been tapping me on the shoulder. I actually am in the process of finishing up a standalone book about I've been really I did a bunch of research. I'm really immersed in sex trafficking. Well, actually, anti-sex trafficking. Mm-hmm. I don't want that to come out wrong. And
no, I understand what you're saying. It's okay. Right?
That is a really, really bad secret.
So it went – I finished a draft of the book and sent it to my agent, and then she got back to me with, but I was happy with it. I honestly hadn't been that driven to write something for a long time. I think it's the first time I've written maybe the most outside of myself, I guess, that I've been taken by something I wrote. And I loved it. And my agent got back to me with some really sharp edits, the importance of having a great agent. So I'm finishing up those revisions, and it'll be back to her mid-December.
So when are we looking to see a book from you then?
I mean, you know, once it gets accepted and published and put out, what's that, a year, 2 years? But
it's usually a year, I know. Although it does seem like it's getting longer and longer nowadays. So,
yeah, I mean, I still have to finish up the trilogy, and I want to do that. I plan to do it after this book's out. I always need the project to work on. But yeah, I keep myself busy, but I've definitely got to return to the trilogy and end
and
it.
You
I mean,
also like to write short stories in Flash too, don't you?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's
and you write nonfiction.
Yeah, I don't like sitting still, I guess. Even now I'm pacing.
I tell you.
But
well,
yeah, the short stories.
I think it's great. Yeah. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh yeah, no, the short stories. It's funny. I was thinking about that earlier, and I was thinking about the short stories I've written and of the different things I write, the different styles. The short stories have felt to me like I'm happy when they're written, I'm excited writing them, and I send them out, and I've been fortunate to be published in pretty good places like Shotgun Honey and Out of the Gutter. But when I go back to them a few months later, I'm not feeling them as much. And the weird thing about this project is with my music, with Kim's music and the project we're putting together, I love those short stories.
There
it just
you
fits
go.
And it feels like
good
a finished
for you.
Piece. And yeah, it's a different feeling than I've experienced for short fiction.
There you go. I really believe that it's a different experience when you speak your words. I just do. Whether it's the music or just out loud, it comes into your brain in a different way. And so you're very creative, obviously. And you know, that's probably what's happening to you. Do you come from a creative family, Ed?
Yeah, so I always I love music. I'm a huge fan, and it skipped me entirely, the gene. Like, I can appreciate it, and that's about it. And I always tell Kim, like, you know, when we're talking about music, that, you know, I'm like, yeah, speak of the English. You know, I'm not following. But my dad studied classical piano, and my uncle, his brother, is a jazz pianist. So
the
music
how wonderful.
Gene is definitely, and the boy, we have a 2-year-old toddler who runs around beating up pans. So I think maybe drumming's in his future.
There you go. Kim, is your family creative? Do you come from a musical family or a family with the arts in their blood?
I wouldn't say music per se. My dad makes instruments, so he's pretty creative.
Wonderful.
Yeah, and he's just kind of one of those guys.
What kind of
instruments
does he make?
He makes ukuleles and
oh my god,
he's made some bows. He made some violin bows for me once.
Oh my god.
He's kind of just
so
one
wonderful.
Of those. Yeah, he's one of those guys that just kind of like can figure anything out. He's really smart. Both my parents are chemical engineers, so they're just really, really smart people.
But they haven't let all that nerdness go to their head. They still have music and you know other interests, so that's really good. You know, because you can't be a zipperhead like that and not hear music or read books or something else. I think that's right. Do you have any siblings?
I do. I have a younger brother, and he plays guitar, bass, and cello, and bagpipes, actually.
So cool. You know, guys, I am so glad that we got to do this tonight. I am thankful that this was the show before Thanksgiving, and that I got to have you guys come on the show. So thank you so much to DJ CJ Alchemist Vanette and to Ed EA Amar, please go to their website at www.eaalchemist.com to find out more about their collaborative process. I just think it's outstanding. I'm so glad that you allowed me to play your music tonight on the show, and I hope you'll come back when I just see you shooting right up the mountain on this. So when you take a turn and something really exciting happens, will you come back and let's hear it on the radio again?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Okay. Happy Thanksgiving to you both. I'm so glad you are here. Thank you so much for spending so much time with me tonight.
And
we'll be in touch. Pardon me?
Can I say one thing before we hang up?
Yes, you can say lots of things.
Real quick, when I was at, I don't know if it's BoucherCon or BoucherCon. I'll go with BoucherCon.
Boucher, right. It's
BoucherCon. Excellent. This past, this year, I want to say everybody there, the writers I all talk to, we're all deeply appreciative of what you do for us and for our books.
You.
So thank you very much. Your name comes up a lot in those circles.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us, and thanks for this show and the network and what you do to
help.
Yeah, thank you so much
for
having us.
Oh my gosh, that's incredible. Thank you. I missed everybody this year. I could not go. I had my hip surgery, so I had to stay home. But I will be there when you come to Florida. I'm going to be here. We'll have a party. It'll be fun. It'll be right
by
the beach, and it'll be a lot of fun. Won't go to Toronto, I don't think, but I probably will, I'll be for sure in St. Pete. Have a wonderful holiday. Ed, you and I talk all the time. That'll be good. Kim, you're my new best friend, girlfriend. Have a wonderful holiday.
Yay,
and come back
too.
Anytime you want, okay? Anytime.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Kim.
You're welcome. On Friday, I'm going to be talking to William E. Wallace, who was an award-winning journalist and now he retired and writes pulp crime fiction. He has an amazing story to tell. We're going to talk about, does writing imitate life or does life imitate writing? I don't know which it is, but William's going to talk to us about it on Saturday at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern and at 4 o'clock Pacific. It's a call-in for any author who hears my voice. I'm going to give you a chance to talk about your books, the genre, where you are on the web, and I'm going to give you one question, and you're going to answer that one question, and then we're moving on. It's going to be a fun, fun week. Everybody, happy Thanksgiving, and thanks to my guests, Ed and Kim. Good night, everybody, and good night, Mom
Thank you
Dad.
So much.
You're welcome. Bye.